speak this afternoon, dear young friends and all, is the subject of following Christ. And we'll turn both to Old Testament scriptures and to New Testament scriptures, for it's always been possible, no matter what the state of the world has been, for God's people to follow Him. There's never been a day, nor will there ever be a day, when we are not enabled to follow the Lord. What a marvelous fact that is to state, that with all the opposition, with all the efforts of Satan, still, it's your privilege, and God has fully provided, fully equipped you, as you go through this dark scene, to follow the Lord. Now the first subject that comes before me is about a man of whom we are told that he wholly followed the Lord. That man was Caleb. And the first mention, I believe, we have of Caleb is in the 14th chapter of the book of Numbers. Oh, it's the 13th chapter of Numbers. I'll just give a little account of what leads up to the story of Caleb. The children of Israel had gone out of Egypt with a high hand, and the Lord had led them right to the borders of the promised land. And unbelief led to their sending spies to spy out the land. So they sent 12 men, one of each tribe, and Caleb and Joshua were among the number. And when they came back from traveling through the different parts of the land of Canaan, why, they came and reported what they had seen. And if you look at the 13th chapter and the 29th verse, or the 28th verse, it says, "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" We'll now go on to tell about the sad result of the unbelief of 10 of these spies. They told the people that these Anakims they saw there were such giants that they looked like grasshoppers in comparison to these great giants that possessed a part of the land. And they caused the whole congregation of Israel to rebel against the word of the Lord and to refuse to go up and take possession of the land. Now look at the 6th verse of the 14th chapter. "And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land.'" Now pay special attention in reading the next verse. "If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and will give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Well, instead of listening to the advice of these men of God, they rebelled against the Lord and talked about having a captain to lead them back into Egypt. What a sad story. Well, because of their unbelief, the Lord told them that they'd have to turn back into the wilderness. And all this great congregation that had come to possess that good land that flowed with milk and honey were to wander in that wilderness until they were all dead. Think of what a lot of discipline. For as we were reminded yesterday, the government of God for his people is very solemn. If they wouldn't believe what Caleb told them, that they were abundantly able to go up and possess the land, there was nothing but to spend the rest of their days in a sad wandering in that vast and terrible wilderness until life came to its end. But here's what we're told about Caleb. Here's what the Lord says. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and hath, now notice this, hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. What a lovely report of a young man at the beginning of his history that he had fully followed the Lord. Well, he had a long, sad experience ahead of him from this time on, because he had to go along with that unbelieving congregation and spend those 40 years there in the wilderness, wandering here and there. But what do we find, beloved young people, at the end of that 40 years journey? Turn to the first chapter of Deuteronomy. Notice this chapter begins in the third verse. It says, and it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel. Well, you see, this was 40 years after they had come into the wilderness, and it was only 11 days' journey to Kadesh Barnea, whereas it required 40 years a wilderness life to reach the promised land. But here's something lovely to call attention to in this chapter, what Moses says about Caleb in the 36th verse. Well, in the 35th verse, you read, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto their fathers, saving Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon unto the children of Israel, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Now, after 40 years, it still is said that he wholly followed the Lord. My wife and I were talking about the years we have attended general meetings in Des Moines, and we look back over 40 years, and we think of the many that we knew that have gone on and are now in our Father's house, waiting for that glorious day when the Lord returns wakes the sleeping saints and takes us home with himself. Well, we think of some who are still following the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? Some we know and some whose faces we look into that were here 40 years ago and are still following the Lord. I don't expect, dear young friends, that the Lord's going to leave his church here for another 40 years. Things are hastening on. Things are showing every indication the Lord's coming must be very, very near indeed. But if the Lord left us here for another 40 years, you, dear young people, would you be found among that number who are still following the Lord? It's possible. God, as we already said, has fully provided so you can follow on and not turn aside to the right hand or to the left hand. And I'm sure that Caleb acknowledged this, that the fact that he followed on and wholly was still following the Lord was because of his wonderful keeping grace during all those years. What a sad experience he must have had of seeing 600,000 people go down to their graves. To see their people destroyed by judgments and plagues and fiery serpents until that whole congregation was consumed. Well, now, if you will turn with me to the 14th chapter of Joshua. Now we're looking at a subject where the children of Israel have taken possession of the promised land. The wars of Canaan have about reached their close. And this good land is being parceled out to the different tribes. And here Caleb appears again in the sixth verse. Then the children of Israel came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me, and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? We're extending our subject a number of years later, after the wars of Canaan. But here's Caleb again. What does it say about him? What does the Lord say about him? That he wholly followed the Lord. And what a great reward he received. You know, these other spies frightened the people by telling of these giants that made them look like grasshoppers. They were the Anakims. But the very mountain of the Anakims that so frightened the congregation became the possession of Caleb. And the Lord said he was going to give that to him and to his seed forever. And why? Why did he get such a marvelous reward? Was it because he had a stronger character than other people? Was it because he had a more wonderful personality than some others? Was it because he had an iron will and a very determined man, a man you couldn't sway or couldn't deceive easily? No, it wasn't that at all. It might have been naturally a weak character. We're not told. But the reason is, and if I could press it upon our hearts this afternoon, beloved friends, the only reason that he came into this reward was because he wholly followed the Lord. The very reason that you can gain a reward that will be worth more than all that this world has to offer is because you wholly followed the Lord. Now we know, dear young friends, that our portion is not earthly. The portion of God's people of Israel was an earthly portion, an earthly position, an inheritance in this world. But our portion is in the heavens above. As Peter tells us, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. And for those who go on through the difficulties and through the trials and through the dangers of the way, are promised that there are rich rewards waiting for them at the end of the journey. Beloved young friends, it's worthwhile following the Lord. You know, when Barnabas went and saw that happy work there at Antioch, what did he do? He exhorted them that they should cleave to the Lord with purpose of heart. Now, I'm sure that Joshua had his ups and downs, and his many trials in his pathway of faith, many discouragements along the way. But he kept on and on. Although he didn't surrender the promise that had been made him, the Lord told him he was going to give him that for his possession. And he had that ever before him. And that was his encouragement to press on and to not surrender when everything would lead him to fall in with the unbelieving congregation. No, he continued on and on until he gained the prize that was held out before his soul. Well, we have promised to us, beloved, these great and precious promises that Peter tells us about. And if we look at the book of Revelation, we'll consider just a reward or two in the second chapter of book of Revelation. Seventh verse. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That tree of life is Christ. And it speaks of a special enjoyment of that glorious scene when Christ is going to be the center of all that paradise, where God's glory will be revealed and where Christ will be seen in all his glorious majesty. Well, we just get little glimpses of what is gained, you see, by going on and following that Blessed One. For remember, beloved, that the day that we're living is a day when our Blessed Lord has been rejected. This world has spit in the face of our Savior. Did you ever stop to think of that? That the world that would attract you away into its empty pleasures has spit in the face of your Redeemer. Well, that's one bright reward that's held out as a reward to the overcomers. You know, there's only two classes among God's people. They are those who are overcome, and they are the overcomers. You can belong to either class, friends. If you go on carelessly and take up with the world and its ideas and seek to get a place and get importance and get the highest positions in this world, if the world is holding out its attraction and you're deceived by it, you can end your course among those who are overcome by these present things. But you can be among the overcomers, and we find in each of these addresses to the seven churches that the Lord has his overcomers in every stage of the church of God. Well, in this same third chapter in the address to Nicolaitans, in the 17th verse, he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." You know that takes us into something deeper and sweeter, perhaps, than even the eating of the tree of life. Because here is what expresses a deep communion of heart and soul with the person of Christ himself. You know, Christ is the manna. He says, "I am the bread which came down from heaven to give life unto the world." Oh, we think of that blessed, rejected one that the world refused. And if you go on and are despised by this world, you're promised a special fellowship that is an individual enjoyment for your soul, so that it speaks of it as his giving a name which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. We little enter into the immensity, the marvels of that fellowship in that coming day, to have for all eternity a special nearness to Christ as a result of a walk of faithfulness and going on in communion with himself. Well, those are just two illustrations. We read of crowns, you know, that are promised to the overcomers. But now one's mind turns to someone in the New Testament. And that one I'm thinking of is a man named Simon Peter, that we hear so much about. And you know, the Lord said to Peter one time, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now may we turn to Luke chapter 5. But before the Lord ever said to Peter, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, Peter had to find out in this fifth chapter of Luke why a poor, miserable, worthless, hell-bound sinner he actually was. And, beloved friends, I trust that no one is deceived, as so many are in this world today, in thinking that by your efforts to follow Christ, you can become a Christian. You have to become a Christian first. You have to be born again. Your soul has to be saved before you can follow the blessed Lord. Alas, many are trying to follow the Lord as a pattern example, and they're actually on their way to a lost eternity. Well, in this fifth chapter of Luke, the Lord goes to the Sea of Galilee one morning because he knew there'd be a crowd of people there. The boats came in with their fish in the morning, and the people came to do their shopping, and it was a gathering center, and the Lord took advantage. Just like some of you, dear brothers, go to Newfoundland, you find some places where the people congregate on the streets, perhaps, and take advantage of it. The Lord was just a pattern for us in looking for opportunities wherever he went. And it tells us in the third verse, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now isn't that wonderful that the Lord selected a certain boat that he used, we might say, as his pulpit, or a place from which he could talk to the crowds on the shore. Well, did you ever think of it, dear young friend, that your being here together is specially ordered of the Lord? Or maybe I better say there's something more definitely ordered of the Lord, that you were brought into a little meeting back there at home. Or it may be that you were saved in a Christian family. In other words, the Lord selected your little boat because he wanted to have an opportunity of getting in company with yourself. The Lord chose that boat so he could be in company with Simon Peter. Not only did he take advantage to speak to all that throng there, but he wanted to be near Peter. He had his eye on Peter in a special way. And after they had, the Lord had spoken to the, taught the people, then he says in the fourth verse, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Peter had known enough about the Lord to believe his word in a measure, not fully as he might have, because the Lord said, let down the net, and he said, we'll let down the net. But he knew that it was, humanly speaking, useless to fish in the day after the fish couldn't be caught at night. He was an old-time fisherman. He knew that Lake of Galilee better than anyone else, I suppose. But he listened to the Lord. Friends, are you listening to the Lord this afternoon? The Lord is speaking right directly to your soul. You have fully trust his blessed word. Well, when Peter lived down the net, he got such a haul of fish And he filled the boat, and then he called to James and John, and they came, and they filled both boats, so they began to sink. And then Peter just fell down at Jesus' knees. And we hear Peter saying, "Depart from me, O, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." There the Lord was still in Peter's boat. And we see this beautiful sight. Here this old, weather-beaten fisherman falling down before that blessed one and owning that he is nothing but a poor, sinful man. What has wrought such a work in his soul? He knew he was in the presence of the one that was more than man. He knew it was only the one who was God manifest in the flesh who could bring the wealth of the lake into his net. He was just overcome with the majesty and glory of that person. And isn't it a remarkable thing that while he is saying, "Depart from me, O Lord," he felt he was so unworthy to be near such a blessed, holy person. Yet he's getting just as near as he possibly can at the same time. And that's the way grace ever works in the hearts of sinners. It makes them feel how guilty and how wretched at the same time. It awakens in the soul such a desire and such a love for that blessed one that their heart cannot do without him. And when anyone reaches that state in their soul's history, they're going to hear the very words that Jesus spoke here when he said to Simon, "Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men." Oh, beloved, if you have found out you're a poor sinner and that Christ is your all in all, that he is a Savior that you can fully trust in, you need never fear as to the question of your eternal salvation. Now we find, you know, that Peter had his ups and downs that we were talking about. And I'll have to be brief now as our time is running out. But we find on one sad occasion that Peter followed Jesus afar off. He got into company with the enemies of Christ. Beloved, let's be careful that we don't follow the Lord afar off. Are there any here that it could be said of them? Yes. Oh, yes, he comes to the meeting. He's a bread breaker. We see him once in a while. What about the prayer meeting? What about the reading meeting? You see him there? Oh, how cold our hearts can soon become if we're not watchful. Well, you know how wonderfully the Lord restored dear Peter. And I just call your attention to the last chapter of John's Gospel, where the Lord fully restores Peter in the presence of his disciples. The Lord probed Peter until Peter has said, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And now when the Lord has said that, in the 18th verse, we read, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, "Follow me." What marvelous grace. The very thing that Peter had so sadly failed in, he was now to honor his blessed Lord at last. He had said, you know, in his own strength that he was ready to go with his blessed master to prison and to death. Though he broke down because he was trusting himself. But now the Lord says, you're going to honor me at last in the very thing in which you failed. But oh, there were years ahead of Peter. Years of service were before him. And so the Lord says, follow me. Oh, what a lovely end it was to Peter's life. He followed the Lord, and if you read his beautiful epistles, as he was nearing his end, and he said he's soon to lay aside this, his tabernacle. But he says, as long as I'm here, he says, I'm going to, I'll just turn to it for a moment in 2 Peter 1. He says in the 13th verse, yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. How would we feel, beloved, if we knew that we were going to be nailed to a cross in a short time? Could we talk to God's people in this way? It humbles us to think of what poor, unworthy servants we are when we view ourselves in the light of the faithfulness of these men of God. But if Caleb wholly followed the Lord, we find Peter wholly following the Lord. Not that he didn't make mistakes. Not that he didn't follow the Lord afar off at one time. And beloved, we've all made mistakes. But let's get back to him as quickly as possible. Let's not allow time to go by out of communion. God grant that we may keep close to his blessed side. And oh, beloved, what a reward awaits those who follow the Lord with purpose of heart. Let's sing hymn number 42 in the appendix. Savior, lead us by thy power, safe into the promised rest. Choose the path, the way, whatever seems to thee, O Lord, the best. Be our guide in every peril. Watch and keep us night and day, else our foolish heart will wander from the straight and narrow way.